All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Let's go ahead and get started for the Sunday school hour. I know some of you do not have the green book, but if you do, I should appreciate if you can open it up with me to page number 77. If you don't have the green book, remember, you have the better book, the Bible. You can follow along when we ask you to turn there with us in your Bible. But today, we are going to start on page 77 of the Green Book, A Sure Foundation. For those of you that are tuning in online, watching us, or hearing us on Podbean, you can find the description in the link below where you'll be able to locate where you can purchase the material that we are currently studying from and discussing. I highly recommend it for great, great Christian discipleship one-on-one to help you to have a better foundation of what we call Bible basics for Christian discipleship. Really good stuff to study. So we're just talking about the presence and knowledge of God. We're going to finish up and then start the love of God, part one today. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all those that were able to make it here to Sunday school. We pray for the members that are currently on their way to church. Would you help them to come safely? We pray for our later Sunday service, Pastor Josh ministering to us the word of God. Would you please prepare our hearts to this for this day, and thank you for allowing your daughter Katie and I to travel back safely last night from the mission trip. Help us to have joy and strength and energy. God, we're very exhausted to just love our people, love our family, and continue taking it a day at a time. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. All right, so we're on page 77. If you have your green book, if you don't, again, you have the Bible. That's the better book. Do me a favor and turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 8. If you don't have the green book, Hebrews chapter 8. Point C, we're going to finish here with the presence and knowledge of God. God can forget or remember as he will. Once again, let's repeat point C, discussing the presence and knowledge of God. God can forget or remember as he wills. If God in his perfect knowledge chooses to erase from his perfect knowledge something that he wills to forget, he has the power to do that very thing. For example, you and I are both sinners. We're on page 77 there if you have your green book. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God knows the sins that you have committed in your thinking and in your acting. He knows the sins that you have committed every day of your life. He saw them all. But listen to this very amazing and glorious truth. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, and let's open now in verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 8 in verse number 12. I want to thank God for those of you that are coming in. We are on page 77 of the Green Book, and we are continuing now in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. And let's go now to verse number 12. The point C that we are discussing here is this, that God can forget or remember as he wills. If God in his perfect knowledge chooses to erase from his perfect knowledge something that he wills to forget, he has the power to do that very thing. For example, how about our sins when we trust Jesus Christ? Look at verse number 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember what, church? No more. One more. Let's go to Isaiah 49. If you have your Bible, Isaiah 49. And if you have the green book, we're on page 77. Isaiah 49, let's go to verse number 14. The Bible says here, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. So this is God through the Hebrew prophet for the nation of Israel. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So look, God can forget what he wills to forget and remember what he chooses to remember. So for sinners who trust Jesus Christ, what can God forget and remember no more? Your sins. Anybody following along? Hebrews 8:12. But Israel, look at what he said. I'm not going to forget you. I'm not going to forget you. So God can choose to retain or forget. God will forget your sins when you have come to him confessing that you are a sinner in sincere sorrow and repentance, trusting the finished blood atonement of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the sacrificial payment for your sins. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10. We're on page 77 of the Green Book. And let's open up now, church, in verse number 9. Bible says here, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is how easy it is for anybody on the planet to be saved from going to hell, is simply believing with their heart Jesus Christ died for them, rose from the dead, sincerely, by faith alone. That's how God can forgive anybody. Praise the Lord for that. But it says now in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if we call upon the name of the Lord, he will save us and forgive us our sins, and having forgiven them, he will forget them. Has anybody here called upon the name of Jesus Christ to save them? Anybody? When you did, God wiped away from his memory bank your sins. He remembers them no more. Now we remember them, and we remember the sins of others. Anybody out there? But God, how about that? He forgives, and he forgets. How about that? He says that having made us his child, he will never forget us. Forget our sins? Yes, he will. Forget us? Oh, praise his name. He will never forget us individually. You see, the knowledge of God is infinite, and it extends to the ends of the universe and to the minutest details. He knows not only the acts, but also the thoughts of each individual in advance. God can hear the prayers of millions at the same moment and answer those prayers. Page 78. But still, he can effectually forget and or remember as he wills. So let's close this chapter with 3 points to ponder. And we will state them and leave them for your meditation. Just think about it. Number one, to pay any created thing or person, even an angel or a spirit, the homage which is due God alone is a dreadful sin. What does that mean? We do not worship angels like we worship God. We do not worship man as we worship God, a creature, a statue, an image. It strikes at the very being as well as at the sufficiency of God. To worship an image, even though the image is a representation of God, is gross sin and immorality. For example, idolatry. Okay, point number two. God is all-sufficient to the extent that he knows all our needs far in advance and has the power to supply them fully. Point number three. That prayer which begins in adoration and ends in petition becomes at once reasonable and effective as we come to know God as he is. Formal praying, repeating words, or memorizing prayers are perfectly absurd. God is a person. He loves us. He cares for us, and he wants to hear us speak to him from our hearts. He wants to answer our prayers by supplying our needs, and he wants to receive our worship. So friend, if you haven't already, would you come to God just now and tell him of your need to have your sins forgiven? And if you will do that, God will hear and answer that prayer. He will wash your sins away in the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you everlasting life. And then you may begin to walk with him, talk with him, fellowship with him, know him, love him, and worship him. I want to leave you on that chapter by just saying this, friend. You just want to be yourself with God. You don't have to act religious with God. What does that mean? You don't have to quote all of his Bible. He knows his Bible. When you're talking to God, you don't have to go, Lord God, Genesis 1, he knows what he said. He wants you to just be yourself. Talk to him as you would as a regular person. Say, Father, man, here's what's going on, God. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Lord, you know what's up. And just be real with the Lord. He knows you. He knows who you are. And let that love and that amazing knowledge of God continue to comfort your heart. Okay, guys, we are on page 79 of the Green Book. We are starting a new attribute of God on our Sunday school hour, the love of God, part number one. If you do not have your Sunday school Green Book material, do not worry. You have the better book, and that is the Holy Bible. So let's continue. It is a marvelous thing to know that we have a God who is holy, righteous, true, just, and pure in everything that he does. We have seen that his every word, deed, and thought is absolute perfection. Yet it was somewhat frightening as we carried our study one step further and considered the judgment and justice of God. We've pondered the fact that only through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ could we ever hope to pass the judgment of God, and this because one has been judged in our place. It's time now to discuss the motive behind that sacrifice, which is now today's attribute, the love of God. You see, there are many fundamental teachers who believe the Bible, but almost entirely forsake the theme of the love of God. Let me repeat that. Brother James says there are many fundamental teachers who believe the Bible, but almost entirely forsake the theme of the love of God. This is because there are so many liberal ministers who seem to speak of nothing else. While it is true that it is incorrect to speak of God's love, God's grace, and God's kindness while never mentioning His wrath, judgment, and hatred for sin, it is just as wrong to speak only of God's wrath, judgment, and hatred for sin, never finding the time to speak of His love. I like how Brother James says that because, guys, there needs to be a balance. Not only are we trying to teach the whole Bible and give you the doctrine and add in the attributes of God, you can't forget that He has multiple attributes. So while He's holy and your family member needs to know that they need Jesus because, you know, fill in the blank, judgment, they also need to know that He's love. And what compelled Him to send Christ was His love. And what compels Him to save them is His love. So you see, you just got to have a balance. And as you guys know, we try our best to do that here at our church, charity, love, and our practical, because we have to have that balance of how we approach our great God. Our hope and prayer is that as we make our way through this series of lessons, we will get a balanced view as we consider every aspect of the character of the true and loving God. Love is a part of God's holy being. The love of God is not like human affection, which is largely selfish. Let's get that in our hearts right now. The love of God is not like human affection, which is largely selfish. People are attracted or affected toward another with the hope or with the idea of receiving something in return. The love of God, friend, is entirely unselfish. God has nothing to gain from loving man. Now that's a good statement. Let me repeat that. God has nothing to gain from loving man. We cannot add to God, make Him more complete, or provide Him with anything He lacks. His love for us is entirely for our benefit, not His. I want you to think about that when you come to church today. Because when you came to church today as an obedient Christian, you are exercising before other Christians, I am a follower of this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who died for my sins on the cross, rose from the dead. I am coming to manifest His love to you without hoping for anything in return. That's biblical love. So what we need to work on, all of us, is not trying to operate off of our human affection when we are demonstrating our love for one another, which is what? Going off of our feelings. We are going to demonstrate, and we should demonstrate, kindness, grace, servitude for one another without expecting anything in return, because that's the love of God. God gave you everything, friend, without expecting anything in return, because He doesn't need anything from you or from me. The love of God extends to all, whether they are lovable or not. Let me repeat that now. The love of God extends to all, whether they are lovable or not. Human affection does not do that. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm Brother Moat. Remember, I'm going to judge myself before you all. It is difficult for Brother Carlos to love people who don't love him on a human level. I don't have a great relationship with my adopted brother. I don't have a great relationship with some of my adopted side of the family because of the human affection where it lacks. But I have a God in me who commands me to love them. I have a God in me who commands me to forbear them and to forgive them. So when I think about that and when I say that I'm a Christian, I need to continue to work on myself and reevaluate how I am supposed to demonstrate God's love for them, because it extends to all. Not only does Jesus Christ, the Savior, love all men, but God the Father, the same God of justice and judgment, He loves all men. And He continues to love sinning and rebellious men. Page 80, if you have your green book. Drawing them by His love. He desires to see all men happy and joyful and blessed. And He's doing all that omnipotent love can do to make them so. Let's go now to 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bible, 1 John chapter 4. Again, friend, for those of you tuning in and out in the mind, we are talking about the attribute of the love of God. 1 John chapter 4. Let's go now, friend, to verse number 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Now let's say together, for God is love. Let's try that again. Can anybody hear at church today? Let's say that one more time. For God is love. The very essence of God's character, the very reality of God's person is love. God loves all men. Even his enemies have been the recipients of his love. Let's go to John 3:16. You guys already know this. And for free prayer, can anybody quote it without looking at it? Anybody here? I'll start it off. For God. There you go. Whosoever believed him should. Now, let me ask you guys a question. When God said that in verse number 16, the world, do you guys see anywhere in a parenthetical them that he likes only and anything in there of the sort? Does the world constitute the world, everybody? The good, the bad, and the ugly? It does. Now, here's what's scary for us. That God that you believe in expects for you to demonstrate that to the world. It says, therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is it not the world that is sinful and wicked and wrong? Yes. Is it not the world that has rejected God and rebelled against him and turned to its own way? Yes. But friend, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Friend, that is real, true love. It's giving. And what did he give? His only begotten Son. He gave the very greatest of all his treasures, his only begotten Son. But why did he do that? Look at the last half of the verse. That whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Christian friend, this is love. This is God's love, because God is love. In God's love, he offered you the greatest thing that he had, his only begotten Son, to sinful men and women just like you and I are, that if any one of us would simply receive him, we might have everlasting life and spend that life with the Creator. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Praise God for this study. I'm a little exhausted, amen, from our mission trip, but it is a blessing to have this reminding us. I don't know what is going on. You guys hear that? Whoa, sorry. We haven't church right now, girl. I don't know what's going on. Let's go to Matthew 5. It's because I have Facebook open as in the window. Okay, 43. Thank you for sticking with us. Matthew 5, 43. If you're in your green book, we're on page 80, Gibby. Page 80, Matthew 5, 43. Here's what Jesus said. How many of us believe in Jesus? Anybody out there? All right. You see, we listen to the whole Bible. Remember that the Spirit of God, through Paul, said, remember the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus. Look at what your Savior said. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That was you before you got saved. That was me before I got saved. Growing up in the barrio, Mexicano culture, we talked about karma and all that silly philosophy, all that wickedness, reprobate, you know, oh, I'm only going to treat other people who treat me good. If you don't talk to me, I ain't going to talk to you. That's the world. Only do good to them that do good to you. But here's what your Savior does, the God of the universe. When he gave you that new heart, creating you a new heart in you, here's what he wants you to do now. But I say unto you, love your enemies. That's your Savior, by the way. It's not a church. It's not a church tradition, and this is not what your pastor expects of you. This is your God who laid his life down on that cross to pay for your sins. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Now watch this. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Brethren and sister, that was you and I. Before we got saved, every day that Giovanni was waking up, every day that Carlos was waking up before he got saved, every day that Katie was waking up before she got saved, God the Father, let that sun shine on your life. God the Father, let that sun and that rain fall on your life to give you food, to give you clothing, to get you to work. God the Father did that for you while you were yet an enemy of his son. Anybody here this morning? Bible says, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Look at what Jesus said. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Look at what he says. Do not even the publicans the same? Isn't that wild? The people of this world, the government tax collector workers, those publicans, they do that. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know what's crazy, church? Listen now. Sometimes unbelievers can love unbelievers better than Christians. Sometimes unbelievers treat each other better than Christians treat Christians. That's a shame. That's a shame to me. That's a shame to you when you and I fail to follow our Lord's commands. You don't have to get along with them, but you love them. You treat them with respect. You treat them with dignity. You treat them because God did that for you before you got saved. Bottom page 80. God's perfect love is extended to all men, whether they be evil or good, just or unjust. Jesus told us not to be like men who love those that love them and hate those that hate them. Rather, we are to be like our Father in heaven, loving even our enemies. You are to love those that hate you, church. This is God's marvelous love. It's his marvelous love. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, page 81. Here's what the Bible says. Ezekiel 33, verse number 11. The Bible says here, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You see, it is natural for a man to find some pleasure in the death of his most hated enemy. I did not say that it is right. I said it is natural. It is certainly understandable, though not acceptable, that a man finds some measure of happiness in the death of his greatest foe. You know, like you and I back in the day when we say, oh, that's right, they got what was coming to them. They deserve that because they did me wrong. You understand what we're saying here? That karma philosophy that we had. Yet God said he finds no pleasure in such a death. Rather, he finds pleasure when that wicked man turns from his evil way and lives. That is our God. That is the God of love. Let's consider four ways in which God manifests his love. Number one, God manifests his love by bestowing temporal blessings. Temporal just simply means something that will not last forever. We learn that God sends the sunshine upon all men, evil and good. We learn that God sends the rain upon all men, the just and the unjust. But let's go now to James chapter 1, and then I'll take you to Acts 14. James 1, and then I'll take you to Acts 14. Look at now, James 1, verse number 17. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Many men go through life assuming that they are God's child and that they are ready to meet God because they have been blessed and have prospered in life, you know, physically. If you have air to breathe, and if you have a sound mind, and if you have any measure of physical health, if you have eaten any food today, if you had anything to drink today, if you have any clothes upon your back or any place to sleep, the Bible says you have all those things because and only because God has blessed you. The Bible further says that God has not blessed you because you are good, you may be evil. God has not blessed you because you are just, you may be unjust. God has blessed you because he is a loving God who manifests his love even to those who do not love him. Do not think that because God has been so good to you that you are good. Mm-mm. Such is the goodness of God leading you to repentance. That's real good. When a man comes to realize that God has been so good, so kind, as to bless someone so undeserving, truly such knowledge will bring him to repentance. Turn your Bible with me to Acts 14. Acts 14. This is not in your notes. This is Brother Carlos. I love this verse, church, whenever I think about how he's been good to us before we got saved. a lot of us tend to forget that. Sometimes we come out of our darkness, we get on a little spiritual high because we're listening to some doctrine from people that you respect and revere. Like, yeah, that's good Bible. That's good Bible. And yet we completely forget the mercy of God. We completely omit the grace of God. We completely diminished the love of God that was shown us before we got saved. But Christian friend, can I remind you? Here's the real truth right now concerning you and I before we got saved. Hope you have your Bible open. Following along now, Acts 14. Here we have Paul and Barnabas ministering to some lost Gentiles who know not God. These are regular folks, Lysonians, and they wanted to give them a sacrifice because of a miracle. Okay, that's just what they do. And when the apostles Barnabas and heard, verse 14, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things?" Because they were about to give sacrifice to them because they were just thankful for a miracle. "We also are men of like passions with you." By the way, that's Paul and Barnabas. You know what they said? "We are sinners just like you guys. We're not holier. We're not more perfect. We're just like you." And look at what Paul said. "Preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." Watch this now, church. Look at verse 17. "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did" what? "Good. And gave us" what? "Rain from heaven." That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. "Fruitful seasons." That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. "Filling our hearts with food and gladness." The Roman soldier that pierced your God on that cross, God the Father blessed that Roman soldier with good, rain, sun, light, food, and clothing. That Jew who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," Jehovah, he blessed that Jew with food, sunlight, rain, gladness of heart. 2,000 years later, Gibby, Joaquina, Giovanni, Dina, Colleen, myself, Eileen, before you got saved, while you were still living life as a regular person on the earth, believing in whatever you did and the acts you committed and the sins you committed and the thoughts you were thinking, your Creator, He loved you so much, He gave you sunlight, He sent the rain, He gave you food. You know what He did? He filled your heart with gladness. Even before you got saved. That's how good this God has been to you. So I have a question before we close. Now that we're reminding ourselves of the Bible, why do we tend to forget the goodness of God? Why do we tend to forget the goodness of God that He showed us, manifested toward us by how we treat others? We tend to begin to treat others as if they are afar off. But you weren't from the heart of God. So what I want to leave you with this lesson, very important, as we come to a close in prayer. I want to encourage you to meditate upon today's lesson, the love of God. Before you got saved, before I got saved, there was a holy God. Yes, He had wrath against your sin. There was a just God. Oh, yes, if you were to die in your sin, He would condemn you as a sinner and send you to hell because that's what you and I deserve. But that same holy God, that same just God had so much love for you. This is what He was at the same time providing for you. He provided you with gladness of heart. He provided you with clothing. He provided you with the sunlight and He provided you with rain, you know, sustenance. And He provided you most of all His Son, Jesus, that if you would call upon Him and ask Him to save your sins, that He would do it without expecting anything in return, because He's God. He don't need nothing from you. He don't need nothing from me. He has everything to offer. So as I ask myself now, I call myself a Christian. I go to this church, doesn't matter, Bible doctrine, whatever. When I lack now to demonstrate that love of God to others, I am demonstrating a disobedient heart to the God of love. God, help me to love like He loves people. Amen. Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour. This lesson was real deep. Sunday school, thank you for getting us back here safely, Lord, from Mexico, just to be reminded, Lord, of these truths. Father, we pray for the safe travels of Brother Josh as he makes his way here now. And would you please prepare our hearts and our church to love each other, forgive each other, and also to be ready to receive the Word of God as you have it for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, 15-minute break. There's donuts.